I hope you have broadband and aren't close to your download cap, because you're going to be downloading an entire quadruple layer Blu-ray XL discs worth of content before you can play Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2-2. Start the game a few hours before you want to play, or plan on doing something else while you wait. The amount of data on the physical disc? 72 megs. Why even manufacture the disc? This is the First World Gamers Only update. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki to tell you more about this and the rest of the week's gaming news. Starting right now on the show, wherever gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, and we are live once again with episode number 935 of our program for tonight, October the 30th of 2022. My name is Rob Roberts, and I am joined every week here to talk about video games, gaming culture, the gamer lifestyle, games and stuff, with my co-hosts, sadly not joining us tonight, Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers, although I just saw her pop up into chat, but she's not joining us live tonight. You've probably caught on the past couple weeks. She's been dealing with some issues with her voice, and I'm not at liberty to say all the nuts and bolts of what's going on unless she wants to say in chat, but I do know she is on doctor ordered rest. She'll be fine, but she's under, you know, doctor's orders not to do too much talking, so doing a 3-hour podcast is a little bit much. However, she will be joining us in a pre-recorded Classic Game of the Week segment a little later in the program. So in the meantime, though, of course, we are joined every week by Tech Master Loki. Hi, Loki.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good.
Good. Of course, we do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VOG Network, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And you can join us live, or you can barge on in the room, as it appears Stark Soccer is just done, throwing off my scenes a little bit. Hi.
I just wanted to come in long enough to say hi to everybody.
And hello.
And say I'm still alive.
Well, good. Yeah, I think the tone would have been much different if you weren't. I'm not sure there would have been a show tonight. Happy Halloween.
Hi, happy Halloween. It's a mess over here. I have to paint a gravestone at some point. Ooh, fun. Spooky.
So did you want to give a little more insight what's going on?
Yeah, so I went to a ear, nose, and throat specialist. And I got to see my larynx. I took a picture of it. I've got inflammation on my larynx, and there is the flap that's like right above it in the neck has got some damage to it, something that can heal up. On Wednesday, I speak to a speech therapist to see if I'm fine to come off the voice rest or if they need me to continue or do reduced talking. So, like, I haven't even been doing my Dead by Daylight streams. I've just been playing RPGs because mm-hmm. I don't have to talk. Mm-hmm. so I've been gesturing a lot. But right now, this is about as good as my voice has sounded in the last couple of weeks. If I keep talking, it will, of course, vanish into the abyss.
Well, obviously, you probably just need to keep resting it, and hopefully everything goes all right. And, we look forward to hearing how your recovery keeps going.
Yeah, and I'm not on cam because I'm totally in my pajamas.
It's totally fine. So, all right. Well, thank you for hopping in and saying hello. And we'll hear from you through the magic of pre-recorded bits a little later in the show.
Hey, I put a lot of work into that, so people better like it.
All right. All right. Take care, Dark Sakura. Mm-hmm. All right. Where was I? Loki, yes. When I was introducing you, I was going to say, because again, we do tape live, we have the video, and sometimes you play things behind you on video. And I actually got really excited when I saw what game you had going behind you tonight. But for the sake of the podcast listeners who can't see the game, or for those watching live who don't know what it is, can you tell us what you have playing behind you and why?
I have Sim Ant playing behind me.
Uh-huh.
And the reason for that is because they don't have an Ant-Man video game. Because a new trailer came out for Quantumania. So.
Okay, nice. Nice. No, I loved Sim Ant. That was one of my favorite games for sure.
Yeah, it wasn't one that I played, but my friends had it. So, yeah. Okay.
Nice. I also want to just kind of give a weird, like, FYI. So, like, some of my OBS settings got all messed up because I made a transition with my personal streams, which share with the same account, to do some Spotify stuff that doesn't get cease and desisted on my personal streams. It's nothing here for using for Orange Lounge Radio. But my point is, a lot of my sound settings got screwed up, and I had to redo everything. So please let me know if the sound seems off to you, and I will try my best to fix it. Like, for me, I hear Loki quiet, but when I see the little meters that I'm looking, he's, like, probably at a level that's almost above where I'm at. So I'm assuming everything is fine. Yeah, okay, Bobby Blackwolf, he would say something if it was off, and he says, sounds fine for me. So I'm going with it. So it's just the wonders of having to change things every now and then, that's for sure. So, all right. Let's see. I guess we'll get right into our kickoff topic for tonight. Loki, did you want to tell us about what's going on? And I got to say, there isn't, like, for being Halloween week and everything, there isn't a lot of news this week, I got to say, in the gaming world. Well, so
we're in the middle of the fourth, well, almost the end of the fourth quarter, actually. So there's not going to be a whole ton.
Well, I mean, there's some big game releases still coming because November.
We got to keep all the secrets for one more month so then we can release them all. For the Game Awards.
I'll say there's always, you know, big announcements at Game Awards. There's still some big game releases coming. You know, Pokemon Scarlet and Violet is a huge release that a lot of people are looking forward to. God of War Ragnarok is on the horizon, although apparently it leaked. So look out, internet, for spoilers because they're out there. That's on the horizon. And of course, this week, Bayonetta 3, a game that was in the news a lot the last couple weeks, maybe not for the reasons it wanted to be, but, you know, I won't get into that now. But I know a lot of people were looking forward to Bayonetta 3, and that's finally out, you know, so we are getting into that time of year where all the games are releasing, but because of that, we just don't have a lot of news about what the future holds as far as, you know, games go. There's a few things here and there, but I just noticed generally when I was, you know, looking at the show roll tonight, in a way I was kind of like, you know what, if Dark Sakura has to miss a week, I don't know if we had enough stories for all three of us if she was here this week. I mean, we'd be really, really pushing it. But yeah. If you all have any, you know, questions, comments, tonight is the night for Tangent Trains. So by all means, shout them out in our Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. So, yeah, and I see Fanara's in chat as well. I'm glad to see you're doing better, Fanara, who's also kind of resting up right now. Fifth Dream in chat says, OMG, less than 3 weeks to Pokemon SV. I'm going to pee. Now the question is, Fifth Dream, are you getting Pokemon S or Pokemon V? And of course, I mean, are you getting Scarlet?
Are you going number one or are you going number two?
Maybe that'll be Gen 10, Pokemon Poo and Pokemon Pee.
They can't say Pee and Poo. They'll have to, like, come up with names that are not quite that, but, you know.
Fifth Dream says Violet all the way. You're not really a Pokemon person, though, are you, Loki?
Casual, like the last one I played was Let's Play Pikachu, and it was okay. I finished it. My son played the last one, and we'll probably get this one too. I buy him a lot of, like, the Switch games. Mm-hmm. I got him hooked on Enter the Gungeon, though. I'm a good father, so, you know, I was pleased to see him playing that, but. Yeah, and also I picked up, since it's not my game week, it's his, picked up the new Mario & Rabbids Sparks of Hope game. So okay. He's been playing that too.
Nice. All right. Cool. Let's see. Also looking in our chat room at some other comments here. Mike Def says, I still haven't decided what version to get. Yeah, I was asked about it this weekend, which one I'm getting. And I'm like, I think I'm getting Scarlet because, like, 90% of people I know are getting Violet because of the hot professor. And I do appreciate a hot professor, but I also appreciate having the version that has the exclusives everyone else wants so I can be popular. So I might get Pokemon Scarlet just for that reason. And actually,
does
I like
that the one have the ghost dog.
I like the prehistoric professor too, to be honest. So, no, I don't know who it is when you say ghost dog. We still don't know the final evos of the, base Pokemon in the game. There's still a lot to look forward to. Let's see. Jaskrin in chat, in response to the question, which Pokemon version are you getting, says Pokemon Gun. Remember those memes when we had Pokemon Sword and Shield yes, and we never got Pokemon Shield. Gun? Where that's a great one. Where is Pokemon Gun?
It's just there. It's not going to be Pokemon Gun. It'll be Pokemon Trebuchet, and it's just not out yet. They have to do
Pokemon
that later
Guillotine.
On.
let's see. E3 VL in chat says, I wish they stuck with one version like Arceus. And I'm almost more excited about a sequel for that game. Well, let's have an honest moment. I need to go back and beat that game. I was really into it. And then the moving happened. You might remember that was right around the time of the year I moved. And I completely derailed from all of that. Okay. So I need to go back and finish Arceus at some point. I was hoping there would be some DLC or something that would motivate that. But nope. We never did get that. So I'm almost more excited about a sequel to that game than anything else. Mike Deft in chat says...
We're just used to double dipping by now with Nintendo. It's just an acceptable thing that we allow.
Mm-hmm. Mike Deft in chat says, we already had our chance of Pokemon Gun with fifth gen being based on the United States. Ooh, oof, low blow. But he can make that joke. He's in Mexico. I know that. So he can make fun of us for sure. We never said it had to be Pokemon Handgun. It could be Pokemon Potato Gun. You know, there's a lot of different types of guns. So it could be Pokemon Blow Gun. Water pistol emoji. Could be a lot of things. So Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I'm sadly not interested in Scarlet Violet. I did get Sword and finished it. That's interesting to me, Bobby, because the amount that I loved Sword and Shield, well, Shield specifically, and finished that is like part of my big motivator why I'm so in on Scarlet and Violet. And I can tell you how this is different. So we all know my friend Shane, who frequently guests on this show, and what a Pokemon maniac he is, right? You all know this, right? Here's the thing. Usually, for most Pokemon games, Shane is having to say, are you going to get it? Are you going to get it? It's going to be so cool. You got to get it. Which version are you going to get? Wait, you should get this one because I'm getting this one. We can trade it. Like, usually he's having to do all that with the releases. I'm like, all right, fine. Yes. Yes. I'll get the Pokemon game. Yes. This time he kind of started that same thing. Like, hey, are you going to get Pokemon Gen 9? I'm like, yeah, I'm definitely getting it. I definitely want to get Pokemon Scarlet and I definitely want to play the game to completion. And he's just kind of like, oh, great. Yeah, cool. Like, it's kind of like, wait, you mean I don't need to convince you this time? It's like, no, I actually enjoyed the last gen of Pokemon that all of the longtime fans seem to hate. I enjoyed it so much that I don't need convincing to get the next gen. I want it because it's apparently more of the same formula. So that's that. Bobby Blackwolf says, I've already played Pokemon on Switch, so not really looking for more of the same. Oh. But have you played Pokemon on Switch OLED? No, I'm just kidding. Well, so I just need to, what I need to do is I clearly not need to just send Shane Bobby Blackwell's phone number. That's what I need to do.
All right.
Anyway, all right. We got derailed from the kickoff topic.
He's a gaming lobbyist.
Like I said, tonight's the night to get derailed. So let's get into the real kickoff topic tonight. Loki, you want to take this on? It's about prices, right? The price is right or the price is wrong?
It's about just kind of the inevitability at some point. And it's not even necessarily a confirmation of prices going up. But basically, you know, with Sony raising the price of... I don't know if they had to raise the price of their games, but they did because they say it warranted $70, whatever. And of course, with like, say, the Meta Quest, you know, 2 going up in price and stuff like that, stuff obviously is getting more expensive. And according to Microsoft, you know, they spoke to, Phil Spencer, who had said, you know, we've held price on our console, we've held price on games and our subscriptions. I don't think we'll be able to do that forever. I do think at some point we'll have to raise some prices on certain things. Obviously, probably the subscriptions. But, I mean, it's not going to happen this holiday, he says. Obviously, we're already in the holiday. It makes perfect sense. So maybe next year the prices will go up slightly. I mean, honestly, if you think about it, though, like, when's the last time that they raised the cost of Game Pass or Xbox Live or something like that? It's been a few years. And where when you have like streaming services like, you know, Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus and stuff like that, I think raising the prices, you know, at least once a year, I'm not surprised that this is going up. And it may even be like a marginal thing. Will they raise the price of their games? I mean, maybe if the market demand, like if they're able to do that. Like, I don't think a lot of game companies are doing it. It's basically Activision.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if EA is selling their games for $70. I hope not, because it's not worth it. And Sony. I mean, those are the three that I can think of that are selling their games for $70. And sometimes I think that's warranted. Like, with some of the, you know, first-party Sony games, I could see how they could get away with that. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2? Probably not. They're probably not worth $70. I don't see the value there. But I guess we'll have to see. Definitely not Madden, but Madden was sold, I think, for $70. That's certainly not worth it. So it's just a matter of what the consumers will pay for. I mean, and I get it that they're saying that things are getting more expensive, but I don't buy that. I get it that you can charge more up front for it, but you're also, you know, charging on the back end with all these game passes and season passes and DLC and all this stuff that's shoved in there. And a lot of times game mechanics built around just all of this stuff in the first place. So even though like people like to make the stupid argument and the wrong argument that, oh, games have never been cheaper. That's not true, because when I was buying a game back in 2005, for the Xbox 360, they didn't really have a ton of DLC or anything like that available at the time, and certainly no game passes. So when you're getting a $60 game, it was pretty much complete. You would have some bug fixes every now and then, but it certainly wouldn't be this game comes out, oh, hey, it's half finished, let's have a roadmap of how we're going to complete our game. It's like, well, you know, perhaps you should have finished it before you sold it. I mean, that's how it used to be. So yes, things will probably get more expensive, but at the same time, you know what though? Like, one thing we are hearing from just the general public is, yeah, everything's getting more expensive, but you know what's not going up? My salary. And so you can charge more for those games, but less people are going to buy it. And eventually what you're going to get is it's going to move towards piracy is going to be what's going to happen with all these different streaming services splitting off with their own content. All these game companies, you know, charging more for their games when their games come out and they're unfinished and just buggy as hell or just a mess. Yeah, people are going to lose trust in you and they're just going to move to piracy. But, I mean, do whatever you think is good for your company. It just doesn't necessarily mean that everybody's going to follow suit with that.
Well, and with multiplayer games being as popular as they are, that's going to be a very hard thing to pirate. I mean, they always have been, because the minute those things talk to the servers, they're going to be able to suss out if it's a pirate version or not. So, you know, which is also why a lot of single player games were having multiplayer elements for some time and still continue to. So, by the way, I just want to point out, Bobby Blackwolf researched your EA question and points out that FIFA 23 is $70 on Steam.
I can guarantee that's not worth it. Not worth it. And on Steam, come on. Like, console, you might be able to get away with that. On PC, are you serious? Like, please don't buy the game for $70. It is not worth $70. I guarantee you it's mostly recycled from last year.
I'm sympathetic to the game. I mean, like, I'm not saying I love the idea of the games going up to $70, but like, I understand it, especially as we're sitting here going, you know, we just had a big debate on the show a couple weeks ago and across the entire internet about our voice actors being paid enough, right? We just went through that whole thing. And I realized that voice actors, you know, need to make more money and that money's got to come from somewhere. And I realized the people working and making the games should have a good quality life and that money's got to come from somewhere. However, and I want to make this clear, I think the executive salaries are where a good chunk of that ought to come from. I know it won't, because that's just the way society works.
And I would totally make that argument for like a lot of other games. Maybe Sony might be a good argument for that $70. And, you know, whereas a lot of their games are really well polished when they come out. And
God of War Ragnarok is
excellent games.
It's going to be hard to argue that God of War Ragnarok is not worth $70. Like, apparently it's 50 solid hours of gameplay. It's not a game that's going to be loaded up with, you know, cosmetic packs and all this BS. Like, God of War Ragnarok, I think, is a good example of a game that can get away with charging $70 and it's hard to complain about it.
Yeah, whereas EA is recycling the game that they had from last year, adding minimal features to it, and making billions of dollars off of microtransactions from their FIFA Ultimate Team series. So don't give me, oh, I'm sure that all those people that work for EA are probably starving and stuff like that because they're not being paid enough. But it's not because they don't have the money to do it. They have so much money that they don't even know what to do with. Yet it can't, no amount of money they seem to throw at their game can't make it good. So I don't know what the problem is there. They just probably don't care, because even if they just churn out the same crap as last year, they'll still make billions of dollars. So the community has spoken. We will buy whatever crap you put out, no matter for how much you charge for it. Yeah. And we'll pay you even more money on the back end, because we got to have our FIFA Ultimate Team.
We keep having this discussion about the $70 game, And I think the reality is, there are so many ways to price a game now in 2022 that, like, I think the $70 game is sort of like, it's just this weird, like, it's an option, but it's not like where all of the games are going. For example, Overwatch 2, 25 million people are playing Overwatch 2. That is technically a free game, but we all know it's free with a giant asterisk if you want to get any of the cool stuff. Same thing with something like Fortnite, which is one of the biggest games in the galaxy right now. Free with an asterisk. Pokemon Go, free with an asterisk. Like, that's another way to price games. You can do monthly subscription. It doesn't work for a lot of games, but Final Fantasy 14 and World of Warcraft say hello. You can do, you know, the monthly subscription type of model. You can do a cheap, you can do a hybrid. You can do a cheap as fuck base game that is then loaded with, you know, maybe not like a ton, like just a lot of add-ons. Dead by Daylight is a great example of that. $20 game loaded with add-ons that it's hard to say aren't, you know, that don't bring value. They do. But there's, you know, just a lot. Fifth Dream in chat says waifu games are technically free, but cost to liver and your soul to play as well. I believe you're talking about Genshin Impact, which is free with an asterisk. So again, I'm just pointing out $70 is, like, we keep saying the industry is not all on a $70 game. The reality is there are all sorts of pricing now in the industry, and you have to decide, is it worth it or is it not? How bad do you want to play?
That's my point, is they make the argument that they're making, that they say they justify $70, is the quality of the game. So I better see the quality of that game when you're charging $70 for it. And the problem is it's not an upgrade from a $60 game. Same with FIFA, like when it was a $50 game and went to a $60 game, it didn't increase in quality. It's the same stuff they've been pulling for years, and it's just ridiculous. Sony can charge $70 for a game, and it's easier to digest because their quality is there. You can see the quality in their work.
Quite honestly, if Final Fantasy 16 were $99.99, I would probably still be buying it.
Well, I mean, that's fine. Whatever you find value in, you know, with that. But I think it's ridiculous. But, you know, to that point, though, you know, we look at the cost of games, but that's not how necessarily we are digesting these games as well. So, like, for example, there's Xbox Game Pass. So, you know, that they're saying right now is accounting for 15% of Microsoft's gaming revenue as of right now.
I'm kind of surprised that's that low, to be honest. But then I think about the globe.
Bigger, yeah.
I think about the globe, and I wonder, is that 15% globally or 15% in the U.S.? Because I bet it would be higher if you were to look at the U.S. only. But if it's globally, I sort of understand why there's a lot of countries around the world that probably are still on physical media and not ready to have the network infrastructure to download a ton of games through something like Game Pass. So that's kind of where the 15% makes more sense to me, is on a global level.
And they're saying that it's not necessarily expected to increase either. They're saying, I don't think it's going to get bigger than that. I think the overall revenue grows, so 15% of a bigger number. But we don't have this future where I think 50 to 70% of our revenue comes from subscriptions.
That's interesting.
Well, maybe in a future where games are $70 and $80, that might be a better deal because, you know, we don't have rental services anymore.
Well, and I haven't paid full price for a Microsoft game in like 5 years because I've been on Game Pass. And I don't have to. Yeah.
Exactly.
But, you know, since we've been talking about price increase, you know, we talk about subscription prices going up and Game Pass is highly likely to go up. You know, just a word of advice. Again, everybody's financial situation is different. So not everybody may be in a position where they can do this. But I would just kind of plant the seed of if you can do this, I would highly advise you with Black Friday on the horizon. We know we're going to see some deep discounts. We almost always around this time of year, around the holiday, see some type of discount on PlayStation Network as well as, you know, Xbox Game Pass. If you can, I would load up on a year or even two, whatever you can afford, and kind of like lock in your rate because it's inevitable that those are going to go up and you'll probably be able to get a lower rate because of Black Friday sales. There might be limitations and weird things like that, but I would, you know, and I, I'm talking about you dropping a couple $100s at once, which is certainly not feasible for everyone. If your situation calls for it, though, and you sort of know, like, I'm in it for the long haul with Game Pass. That's me. I'm in it for the long haul with Game Pass. I know I will be on Game Pass for a very long time. So I'm going to be looking around to probably load up on 2 or 3 years of Game Pass. And I know a lot of you up out there loaded up a lot of Game Pass. Bobby Blackwolf confirms you can only front load up to 3 years of Game Pass, but you still can. And I think the clock is running out for many of you that got that 3 years right out the gate. I think, 2023, maybe 2024 for some of you. But I think 2023 is about where that clock is going to end for many of you. So you might want to load up on another 3 years. It just depends. I mean, again, it depends on your situation. But I would just think about that as an option if you are a heavy Game Pass user or PlayStation Network, to be quite honest. I'm sure those prices will go up as well eventually, maybe not as fast, but eventually. Just something to think about. All right. Let's take a moment to talk a little bit about our gaming weeks and the types of video games that we have been playing this week on Xbox or otherwise. So Dark Sakura is not joining us tonight, but I will start with Loki then.
Play Minecraft. It's, I know, shocking. We live streamed last night too. I forgot to post up about that. I was in my.
I was gonna say I didn't see that. I mean, I was hosting a show last night.
It wasn't me streaming, but it was a server mate that was streaming. So I was participating with that. But yeah, I did a rather. It's a semi-large build that will be in a next episode here, hopefully very soon. I was trying to get back down the weekly. It's been 2 weeks already, but we're not going to make it 4 weeks. So we'll get there. It's just that I have some editing stuff I got to do.
We said it's another big build, like your Mega Man.
Not that big. No, not as big as the Octopus. That's ridiculous. Okay, no, regular large builds. Not, okay. Not ridiculous. Like 200,000.
Only builds, partially ridiculous.
No, it looks nice. It's really cool. It's the centerpiece of one of the Robot Masters area, so it's pretty cool looking, and it actually is from Mega Man as well. It's from a game I haven't played. It's Mega Man 02, but it's a giant tree.
All right,
but yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay. Let's see, my gaming week. Yeah, I was a little busy with like show hosting this weekend and stuff. So I haven't had as much time for games, but I have been playing Dead by Daylight. I streamed a little bit of that the other night because they are doing a big blood point push in the game right now. So just, you know, I've been working on prestiging more survivors. So I prestiged both Kate and somebody else in this last week. Was it Nia? No, I think it was somebody else. But yeah, I prestiged two more survivors in this last week. Elodie, I think, was one of them that I prestiged. So I'm just working on trying to prestige all the survivors. Maybe I'll play killer at some point, but the game's been in this weird place where the survivors have been getting all the bonuses now and the shorter queue times, whereas 6 months ago it was very different. So I've been working on that. Still playing Final Fantasy 14. I still am obsessed with the farming sim mode in that game, the Island Sanctuary. I now have earned every single cosmetic that you can get right now in the Island Sanctuary. And so what I'm doing, I am just stockpiling the currency to just instantly buy whatever's next when they put out the new content. I'm hoping they don't outsmart me and make it a different currency. I'm really frightened they're going to do that so that I save up like 200,000 of the island calories and then I can't even use them. Or I can always buy materia or something with them, but we'll see. So that's going on. SG100 Matt in chat says Gaming Week Overwatch 2 with a new Junkenstein event going on. I actually did check that out as well. I haven't played a lot of Overwatch 2, but I did the new Junkenstein event just once, just to, you know, say that I did it and pick up the easy cosmetics and whatever battle pass points, whatever. I think my battle pass is like level 11. I've barely played any Overwatch, but I've done a little bit. Yeah, I also noticed that the skill, like it, this one is harder than the last one was, the original event that's, you know, several years old at this point. You can still play the original if you want to. That's still in the game. But yeah, the new one was harder because you had to, you know, go exploring and it's not always obvious where you need to go. It's a little more challenging. So I've also been playing that. But otherwise, I didn't really dabble in anything new this week, to be honest. Just kind of the old reliables until probably will stay that way until maybe Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. I do kind of want to pick up Bayonetta 3. I don't know if I'll have the time. But my hosting and weekend stuff clears up significantly next month. So I'll have a little more time for games at that point. We're not going to be here on OLR. At least I won't be. I don't know if Loki and Dark Saga want to do something, but I won't be here in 2 weeks, Veterans Day weekend, because I'll be out on vacation. And kind of like after that point, I get freed up a lot, so I'll have more time to sink into catching up on backlog games and the games that come out over the next few weeks, and so the holiday releases. Questbuster in chat says, I'm having a lot of fun with Bayonetta 3. Mish says, I'm hoping to get 2 copies of Bayonetta 3 for shits and giggles, digital and physical. Jaskrin in chat says, Gaming Week Mass Effect 1, first time playthrough, all on the Steam Deck. Yeah, that's cool. I'm assuming that's like the Legendary Edition, maybe. That's neat. Bobby Blackwell says, I'm considering getting Bayonetta 3 because I was told you don't really have to have played 2 to understand it. I played 1 when it originally came out, but it's been a while. I am also under that understanding that number 3, you don't need to know the first 2 games that well to understand. So you don't need a deep understanding of those. So that's pretty cool. So we'll see. Oh yeah, No Man's Sky. I have been dabbling in that game a little bit as well. You all know that. I play that game way too much. But I love the new relaxed modes. I really do. So, good times. All right, let's get into some more gaming news and what's going on throughout the industry. What little there is. A lot of updates on other stories. But Loki, what do you have for us?
It's hard to keep track of all these different lawsuits, but this is harkening back to the first lawsuit for Activision Blizzard regarding the poor treatment of their employees. So this is from the California Civil Rights Department, which was previously known as the California Department of Fair Employment and Housing. So they're basically, Activision is trying to get the case thrown out again, basically saying that because of this case, they have suffered bad PR, I guess. It is tarnished their reputation.
Of a company
perhaps,
that's about to get
perhaps
bought,
you
acquired,
shouldn't have
eaten.
Done... I'm sorry that your reputation is tarnished because people found out that you harassed your employees. Oh, I'm sorry. But that's what they're trying to make the argument. I don't think, obviously it's not succeeding, but yep.
So Activision was like, the truth hurts. And for that reason, we shouldn't be sued.
But yes, yeah, so the case is still moving ahead. It is supposed to take place, into 2023, I think, at some point.
All right. That's going to be interesting to see how that's timed with the merger. If the merger's allowed to go through, a lot of people think that Europe is going to shut down that merger and it may not actually happen. That could be very interesting. So
it'd be interesting.
I would be curious if Microsoft might try to buy a part of Activision Blizzard if that gets stopped. Like Microsoft's we'll just take Blizzard. Thanks.
Right. It's kind of weird though. Like I especially find it funny when we hear about Sony making the argument that, oh, they'll have an unfair advantage with exclusives. It's like, dude, you do the same thing. Shut the hell up. Like, this is literally your game plan. Well, they're doing it too. Now it's not fair. We want to do it first. Like, I don't. No. Corporations, gotta hate them.
All right. Well, earlier in the show, I had brought up Genshin Impact. This is a game. I tried Genshin Impact. I got to be honest. I couldn't get into it. But I know a lot of people love this game. They love Genshin Impact, and they play the shit out of this game. Unfortunately, Genshin Impact has had a bit of a data breach that has happened. And so people's information could be at risk. So I hope you all are changing your passwords. That's for sure. Let's see. I want to mention what is happening here. Unfortunately, the first thing I tried to go to, the site wouldn't work. So I'm trying to quickly get into an alternate site that talks about what's happening here. All right. Sorry, y'all. Earlier this week, Genshin Impact HoYoVerse had a data breach, and big batches of information were shared online to talk about the details of new characters, quests, and events from 3.3 until 3.8. There were DMCA striked posts that came out of the data breach. You never know what's going to change there. Although one of the leakers on Twitter had a change of heart, saying, "After further consideration with friends, I decided to remove all my tweets from today just to be safe. To make it clear, I do not condone what other methods in which the data was obtained, and I was not involved in obtaining nor distributing the original data." Apparently, 36 weeks of content that is coming out for the game were all impacted by the breach and this information. So to correct something I said a moment ago, I apologize, but no usernames and passwords have been put at risk yet. But I would say the logic says if they got in there and looked at some of this stuff, they probably got access to other stuff too. That's just not being acknowledged yet. So I would say, you know what? Change your passwords anyway, out of good habit. It's a good thing to do. Questbuster says that it was some QA and employee info that was included in that as well, what was taken out from that. So Bobby Blackwolf does say, "I never gave a username and password to them. It was attached to my PSN account." So hopefully for most people that did a type of link thing, it would be okay. But I'm sure there are people that have an account directly through the company as well, possibly playing on PC or something. So it would be good to stay on top of that information. It is interesting, though, that most like web browsers and stuff will now tell you if a password was in a data leak. Have you seen this? And like, I think Chrome does it. And I think some of the others do too, maybe Edge. But like when you try to use a password on a website, if it's something that was in a data breach, it actually pops up and says this password was found in a data breach. You shouldn't use it. So it's interesting that it compares all that right out the gate. Try it next time you sign up for a website. Just put your password in as password. Don't save it, but just put in something silly and see how the alert comes up. Bobby Blackwell says Firefox does it too. I think that's very interesting how they will help people not pick bad passwords in that regard. So remember, use mixed words, mixed case, mixed letters, jumbles, punctuation, numbers. All that goes a long way. Don't use the name of pets, or if you are going to use the name of the pet, combine it with other things that don't make sense. Do your favorite pet, favorite food, you know, favorite cousin with some random capitalization and some numbers of significance to you. Or Jaskrin in chat says use a password manager. Absolutely. Then you only have to remember one password, which is still sometimes a challenge for me. That's for sure. But password managers, man, They're sure helping us. Every website now is like, you have to have a minimum of 8 characters to this website. For this website, you have to have a minimum of 8, but no more than 20. But you have to have at least one that's a punctuation, and you can use numbers, but you can't use the number 3. It's like every website has their own wild rules to them. So yeah, password managers are great. That's for sure. All right, moving on. This is very interesting about where the industry is headed, right, Loki?
Yeah, well, it's I don't know if it's unexpected, because we've seen this before with different games having partial or parts of their game that, well, it's kind of actually the opposite. So you may remember a while back we had the whole issue where DLC was on the disc and people were upset about that. Well, what if the DLC isn't on the disc and the game isn't on the disc as well? The disc is just, I guess, a memento with a key to go download the game.
It's a coaster.
Yes. Yes. So Modern Warfare 2, the Blu-ray disc that they have contains 72 megs of data. That's like enough to fit on a CD-ROM, not even on a Blu-ray. I don't know why they pressed it onto a Blu-ray disc, but they did. And it's basically forcing players to connect to the internet and download 100 plus gigabytes of data. So that's great. So like, even though you didn't want to buy the game digitally because, hey, I have bandwidth caps and I can't really do that. Activision says, you know what? We don't care what you like. You paid $70 for a game, so you get to pay those overdraft fees or whatever for going over your bandwidth caps. It's the Activision gift that keeps on giving, and so you're going to have to download all of that data for the game before you can play it, I guess, to protect from spoilers or something.
I mean, the God of War team literally tweeted earlier today, I kind of wish we'd gone this route because now a retailer leaked their game 2 weeks early and all the spoilers are out there now.
If that's a problem, though, and I could definitely speak to this. That's a problem because you ship your stuff too early to mass market retailers is the problem. And all the time, people always are going to get accused, like the small mom and pop shops, of breaking street dates to get a competitive advantage over their competitors. And they do. But the thing is, though, is those mom and pop stores aren't buying direct from Activision. They are buying from a distributor who doesn't even get the copies of the game until like the week of and barely gets them to them by street date. So it's leaking 2 weeks early. It's because the dumb assholes at Activision decided to ship the game that early. So you have yourself to blame, or in this case, it would be Sony. You have yourself to blame for shipping it that early. That's your own damn fault. Sorry, but it is. If you didn't send it out the door, it can't get leaked. But in this case, though, this is absolutely stupid. Once again, $70 game. And you're making me download the whole game? Why? Why even make a physical version of it? What is the point? This sucks for game preservation as well, because when Activision inevitably takes down the server, how am I going to get my game? You know, like, it in the future, it's just awful. It's awful.
Bobby Lackwolf in chat does have a good point about the, because you had said, you know, why even bother with a Blu-ray when it's the size can fit on a CD. They press it that way because Xbox and PS5 can't play games off a DVD or CD, which makes sense. I mean, they might be able to read them to play the music or the movie, but they're not trained to boot games off of them. So that, right. I get that. That makes sense. Right.
Basically, but why, like, I would just, you put a card in the box at this point. Like, what's the
download
point
code
of
in the box? Yeah.
Like, I mean, seriously, that like, what's the point? Anyways, for this, I guess so. I don't even know. It's just dumb.
Yeah, I you know, with a game like Call of Duty specifically, I know that a big chunk of that is multiplayer, and you're gonna have to be online for multiplayer anyway. So I'm kind of like, I'm not like. Surprised right. that like you have to be online to download all the patches and all the things like that, and that, you know, you're not going to get a lot of play off the disc. Although I know, yes, there is a single player campaign as well. I know a lot of people play it multiplayer, but I also, you know, I'm also spoiled now with lack of bandwidth caps, and that's something that was strongly something that affected me, you know, 6 months ago, and this would tick me off because a big reason why I would buy things physically was because I don't want to download like 80 gigabytes. And that's what pissed me off about Mass Effect Legendary Edition.
Or just like even just think about your customer. I mean, obviously they're not thinking about the customer. They see them as a wallet. So it doesn't matter. They don't think of them as people. But like, aside from that, so not only am I going to now have to, like, say I bought this day one or whatever, or midnight launch or whatever, even if they do that anymore, I'm going to go home and I can't play the game because I have to download 100 gigabytes for this. And the latest patch that they have, it's over 150 gigabytes large. Jeez. When you include the campaign and multiplayer. So not only am I going to download the game, but then if it patches again, I'm going to have to download another 100 some gigs. Do they not know the reality that we live in? People have bandwidth caps. We don't live in a gigabit world where everybody has lightning fast, you know, fiber internet and can just download whatever because they have unlimited data caps. If we lived in that world, then this would be no problem whatsoever. But we don't live in that world, and it doesn't work. What about, here's a not weird idea, what about somebody that doesn't have a great internet connection? So they're downloading it 2 megabits per second, or they're downloading it at, you know, DSL speeds or something like that. Yeah. Well, I hope you can I guess I'll play it next weekend when it's done downloading.
Or a lot of military guys and gals like to play this game, and the internet connection is usually pretty shitty overseas. So, yeah,
it is just such. It's so sell side. It's like what costs can we cut so that we make more money? So the shareholders make more money. Is all that that's all they look at. They don't care about the quality of the game. It's just about how much money we can make.
Bobby with some more points in our chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. And, you know, I do see this side of this saying the disc is the key to unlock the game as well. It needs to be in the console. You can still resell the disc and you won't be able to play it without the disc. This means the resale market is still available for this game and the code, et cetera, doesn't work that way. It does. And I will say to that, you know, comments credit, it does put aside one of my big problems with, you know, buying digital versus buying physical is that when you buy a game digital, you can't resell it. It has no equity. It doesn't have any type of collectible value, essentially, unless you're into digital collectibles, which, you know, I would say the mass market, when you look at things like NFTs, is rejecting, you know, digital collectibles. So we've seen many stories about how the game industry specifically, they've been trying to make NFTs the next big thing, and the gamers are rejecting it, which I appreciate and so forth. But my point is that, you know, because I like having those physical collectibles, at least as much as this method sucks, it does still play into the old system of the disc is the game and you can resell that and it has value, blah, 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 blah. You know, so that part of it I get. But if I had a bandwidth cap, I'd be pissed.
Yeah, but I don't play these games anyway. It's not $70 anymore because now you're charging me the electricity to download the thing. You're charging me the bandwidth I have, so possibly exceeding it. You are costing me more time because I anticipated to be able to play this after, you know, obviously downloading an update patch, which is fine. You know, it's acceptable at this point. So it's a lot more than $70 at this point. And then they're probably going to shove microtransactions and DLC and battle passes and all that other crap down your throat. So, like, I don't feel bad when they say, oh, we're charging $70 for our game and people don't want to buy it. I mean, people are still going to buy it because there are people that will just buy Call of Duty every year. It doesn't matter what they put out. Mm-hmm. But whatever. I mean, it's people. What I think it's upsetting about this is that people probably who are buying this don't know this until they've already bought it.
Yeah.
It's not like something that they disclose, like, hey, you're going to have to download.
Well, it may be in tiny ass fucking print on the back of the box. Requires internet. Well, you, and that's what requires internet connection to download full game or something like that. It'll be in tiny ass fucking print on the back of the box.
I think they should at least put like the campaign on there or something like that. They've done that in the past where the multiplayer is, you know, later on because the servers will come online later or something like that and you download it later. And I think that's somewhat acceptable because then at least I'm not having to spend as much of my data as I would if I was to buy it digitally. Right. But once again, it's like, why buy it physically? And then I get it. Yeah, you can resell it later on. But do really people hassle with that? I don't know if a lot of people do anymore. Yeah. Like, it's trade-in is not worth it. And to sell it online, sure, you can do it, but it is a hassle. So I don't know. I don't know if the used market is really what it used to be, but I don't know. Activision sucks. What are you going to do?
Bobby says the PS5 version requires content download in small print on the bottom of the front of the box. So it's there, but it's easily missable.
You know, yeah, but most like, who knows what that means? That like content download, you may think, oh, that means a part of the game. It doesn't mean the whole game. Like, I don't know. It's not specifically saying you will have to download this whole game. Like, and that's, I don't know. Whatever. Who cares?
Okay.
I'm not the target demographic for this at the moment, so it's fine.
All right. Well, let's move on and talk about Orange Right in chat says it should be as obvious as those Switch games that don't even have the game card in it. Well, speaking of the Switch, you can now use those controllers on various Apple devices. There was an update that will now use allow the Apple devices to use the classic controllers from the Nintendo Switch. So you can use the N64 classic controller. You can use that Sega Mega Drive Genesis classic controller. You can use the Super Nintendo classic controller, the NES classic controller, and you can use them with any device that runs either macOS 13, iOS 16, tvOS 16. So, you know, pretty much, you know, any Apple device in the last couple of years. The Joy-Cons and Switch Pro controller, that was already there. This is something for those, you know, special, unique controllers. But also pretty cool, like, you know, I know people have, you know, snuck in some emulations sometimes onto the Apple system. So those controllers can come in handy if you managed to grab some of those things before they got pulled. Or, you know, even with retro inspired games, having these classic controllers can be a lot of fun. That's for sure. Also worth pointing out, you can also, if you don't want to use Nintendo controllers, you can still use Xbox Series controllers, the DualSense. You can use a DualShock. You can go back and use an Xbox One controller. There are a lot of other devices that will work, with the Apple devices, but interestingly enough, still no official Apple joystick. They tout a lot of compatibility with third-party devices, but never an official one, which is just interesting. Unless I guess you count maybe the remote for the TV, but I don't really count that. Just it's always interesting to me how, for whatever reason, they haven't really looked behind that rock. I'm just surprised because it would be very easy to make a shell that the phone could snap into, and it would be a lot like a Switch, but... maybe because there's varying sizes of phones. I don't know, but I would think you could have a stretchy thing. But I don't know. I guess it's whatever. They don't want to do it. So, but a lot of people own a Nintendo Switch or one of those many other devices I just named that it also works with. So that is something you can do. Bobby Blackwolf also points out anything's possible with 3D printers. It's true. It's true. All right. Let's move on. We have some more stories. Let's get to Loki.
Yeah, so there's this game called The Store is Closed, which is an SCP infinite store survival game. So basically, it's this big procedurally generated furniture store. The problem is that the outside of the store has yellow lettering against a solid blue store. And so IKEA believes it looks too much like IKEA. And clearly, I mean, I think it's supposed to be slightly inspired by IKEA, but it's not supposed to be IKEA. It's more of like kind of the joke where you can wander through IKEA and kind of get lost a little bit because they're really big and winding stores.
True.
So I think that's where they've kind of taken the inspiration from it. But the game itself looks pretty cool. You actually are like trapped inside the store and you have to avoid the staff who turn into giant monsters at night. And then you build bases or forts out of the furniture, which is great.
I love that.
It's like it's got like a almost
you,
like a Fortnite.
You forever end
thing.
Up having to live in a 310 square foot space, like the models in IKEA, you know, show you how. Here's how to live within 400 square feet or whatever. You know.
Yeah, it's like that.
About.
But so yeah, they're basically there is a lawyer from IKEA had contacted them saying that they need to stop infringing on IKEA stores. They said that our client has learned that you're developing a video game. The store is closed, which uses, without our client's authorization, indica associated with the famous IKEA stores. So blue and yellow, I guess. The game uses a blue and yellow sign with a Scandinavian name on the outside or on the store on a blue box like building. Yellow vertical striped shirts identical to those worn by IKEA personnel. A gray path on the floor. Furniture looks like IKEA furniture. And to which it was funny, though, because the developer's like, I just bought a cheap furniture pack on, like, the Unity Asset Store for this. It says all foregoing, or they're basically saying, all foregoing immediate suggests that the game takes place in an IKEA store. Like, unfortunately, he's probably going to have to change the way, like, the outside of the store looks, which is weird because you don't ever see it. It's only in the menu, like the start menu. But I mean, obviously he's not going to fight a That's, you know, $25 billion company.
But I think IKEA is doing a pretty shitty thing here. You know, right. I also, you know, somebody, I already know somebody's typing the comment. They have to chase their trademarks or they might
but
lose
it. But it's not
it
their trademark. He's not calling it, IKEA.
I'm with Pod Culture. Doesn't this fall under parody? Like, can't you do something that's similar, but it's also distinctly different? And like, he didn't call it IKEA. He called it something else. And he didn't lift the actual brand names. He's calling them something else. And I think it's very obvious when you look at the fact, like, it's a horror game that any reasonable person would know that, like, when you actually go to IKEA, you're not going to be having a horror experience. Like, in Darksakura is still in chat.
Unless
even
you have
crazy.
The product shipped to you.
It falls
case,
under
you
parody. Yeah, and brings up when in the 90s in Marvel Comics, McDonald's was called Mac Food. And Pop Culture says they should embrace it instead, run with it. I mean, they can, but I don't know, because you know what they're doing here. I don't know if I would call it Streisand effect. I don't think it's quite that, but I would say this game now is getting all of this additional media coverage that it would not have gotten if IKEA didn't send this letter. I'm not sure that's exactly Streisand effect, but it's in the same family.
And he could probably just change the outside of that store to make it look slightly different, so it's not like IKEA. It doesn't really matter, but
like,
I think it's
when
still
Weird
stupid,
Al
though.
Does an album cover that is really similar to an established, like, you know what what was his album that had the Michael Jackson parodies on it that looked just like the Bad album? Like, come on, he does this all the time with his album covers, and it's like, you know, people understand it's a joke, it's a parody. Like, a reasonable person understands the difference. That's true. Darksakura does say he had a good relationship with Michael Jackson. That's true. I'd heard that Michael Jackson like allowed him to use the same set
he did.
Fair, but come on, we all know that Coolio had a problem with it and there was really nothing that could be done. Yes, they made amends and so forth. Yeah, yes, that all got, you know, resolved later on, but it was an issue at first, right? So it's just, you know, I don't understand why he can't just say, suck it. Like, it's parody. This falls. And plus, the company is in Sweden, the lawyer is in New York, but the game maker's in Europe. So how are you gonna fight that? I don't think you do.
Yeah.
So I think these lawyers did this game maker a favor at the end of the day, to be quite honest.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's definitely gotten a lot more publication than it would have.
But I hope the creator, like, I guess if they feel a need to change the color, make it, you know what? Honestly, make it a yellow store with blue lettering, and then that's it. Don't change anything else. Don't change anything else. And just say it's
Best
very...
Buy will come after him. Or...
Oh, God, shut up. All right. let's talk about Digital Eclipse, which is a company that has made a lot of great retro kind of revival sorts of games. You know, they've published a lot of, I want to say they did a lot of the Castlevania stuff recently with Konami and so forth. And they've been doing, you know, retro packages and stuff like that on modern consoles for a long time. Most recently, they did the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Cowabunga collection. They put out a new game for Halloween, but it's actually not a classic game. This is a new game that's retro inspired. So it's a game called Candy Creeps, and you can play it with one or two players, and it's a retro arcade-like platformer, where you take you go out against the Pump King who stole candy. Oh no. And you have to do like Mario Brothers, the original, jumping on, like, you know, stomping heads and things like that. So apparently this is the first in what Digital Eclipse is going to do as an arcade line. And they're just calling it new games inspired by classic 80s arcade vibes. So that's kind of neat. If you want to get it, it will cost you $4.99 US dollars on itch.io, or if you sign up for the Digital Eclipse mailing list by tomorrow, Halloween, which might actually be today for many of you listening on the podcast, you can get it for free. So you can sign up for the Digital Eclipse mailing list by doing that. The URL, unfortunately, is a little long, so you'll probably have to Google it because I can't read it out here to you. But that is a way you can get it free, or just check it out on itch.io if you want as well. I think that's kind of, I'm all about a free game, and I like a retro game, right? So it all works. So, well, speaking of retro games, I think this is a good opportunity to get into our next segment.
And now it's time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week. Hello and welcome to the classic game of the week. This game, appropriately, is Halloween for the Atari 2600. It was developed by Micrographic Image, published by Wizard Video, designed by Tim Martin and Robert Barber. It was released on the Atari 2600 in October 1983, and it is based off of the 1978 horror movie of the same name. The interesting thing about this game is that it doesn't have any of the characters named, including the killer. You just sort of have to assume it's Michael Myers, even though the cover art for the box is the movie poster. So the way that you play this game is that you play a babysitter who has to save children from a knife-wielding killer. So what you do is you have to take them to safe rooms located at both ends of each floor of the house, and or by stabbing the killer with the knife, if it can be found. You advance by either rescuing five children or stabbing the killer twice. As the levels progress, the killer gets faster and faster, and it's game over when all of your three lives are lost. Now, there was some controversy about this game. Number one, this game had gore. Well, Atari 2600 level gore, but gore nonetheless. There were these scenes where after one of the victims is stabbed, the blood is showing actually squirting from their body. For Atari 2600, that's gore. And people were really put off by that. They thought it was too violent. Many retailers refused to carry the game. And the other game released by Wizard Video, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, also after a horror movie around the same time. They actually ran out of money and went bankrupt. So while they were shipping out some of the games, they didn't have labels on them. Instead, they had masking tape that said Halloween handwritten on it. A lot of retailers rejected the game because of this. And while it wasn't a great game, it really isn't, it was still better received than the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And because of the limited numbers of it, it is now a highly valued item amongst Atari collectors. Trust me, look on eBay and look at what they go for. And if you have one of these, give it to me. I'm kidding. Actually, no, I'm not. Send it to me. I want it, even though it's not a great game. But that is our classic game of the week, Halloween. And as for all of y'all, happy Halloween.
All right. There it is, the classic game of the week, Halloween on the Atari 2600, which I have to admit, I forgot that they did a Halloween on the Atari 2600. I like completely forgot. Like, you know, I know some of the classic movie-based Atari 2600 games like E.T., but I forgot there was Halloween. So there's that. Dark Saga is actually in chat saying, I worked really hard on that. You know, it was nice. Especially for those that were able to see the visuals here live on Twitch, but it still works on the podcast feed as well. But yeah, so Jamie's actually teased that she might do more of those pre-recorded so she can do some more fun stuff with the visuals there. So, you know, if you liked that, tell Jamie you want to see more. Fifth Dream also says, and also, we could probably put those videos on our YouTube channel, hint, hint, so that, you know, a little something extra, you know, on there. So something to think about. Fifth Dream says, Porky's. Oh, God. Yeah, that was a terrible movie. And yeah, I forgot there was that game as well. My gosh. All right. Anyway, All right, we're going to get right back into it and travel around the industry and check out some other news going on quite rapidly in rapid fire news. So, yes. Loki.
In rapid Witcher news, we have the news that Henry Cavill is going to be not appearing in the fourth season of The Witcher on Netflix, probably because he's going to be Superman again. And so instead, we're getting Liam Hemsworth. And nobody's excited about that. But Superman, that's good.
Why do we hate him? Besides the fact he's Miley Cyrus's ex, like, is there celebrity gossip I'm missing?
I don't know. Probably he's not as cool as Henry Cavill. But meh, I don't care. I didn't watch any of the seasons of The Witcher, so it doesn't matter to me.
I know some people very depressed about this news. I get it. Like, it's weird to change the star right in the middle of the show. You don't see that happen a lot. I mean, it's happened before.
Well, but I think the new Witcher is not supposed to have Geralt either. It's supposed to be a different Witcher, so maybe they do that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know.
And the chat is pointing out this is because Henry Cavill's going to be busy as Superman. Yes.
Right, exactly.
I'm probably not supposed to... I don't know. I don't follow movies enough, but apparently Superman shows up in one of these recent DC movies, and it's very obvious. Well, we just had the news recently, right? Like, one of those big directors... that had done the Marvel side of the house, right, is now going to be over like a new DC movie, because everybody knows the DC movie's not great, but like they're restructuring that whole thing. I think I was reading somewhere, right? James Gunn, thank you. And Pop Culture says he did do some DC as well.
Yeah, he did the last Suicide Squad movie, and I like that. I like that movie. It was pretty good. Yeah. Would I watch
Wonder
the rest
Woman?
Of the
I hear was a big exception to Wonder Woman movies are pretty good.
Yeah, the Wonder Woman movies are good. Would I watch more DC because of that? Probably not. I hear that Shazam is pretty good. I don't know about Black Adam. I some people like Black Adam.
This is so funny. SG100 Matt in chat says Liam Hemsworth is to Chris Hemsworth as Billy Baldwin is to Alec Baldwin. Ouch. Ouch.
Well, we're getting...
You saying as Eric Roberts is to Julia Roberts? Is that what you're saying? Anyway, go ahead, Logan.
Yeah. We're getting a remake of the very first Witcher game in Unreal 5. So that's going to be worked on as well by CG Projekt Red. So... that sounds cool. Maybe I'll have Liam Hemsworth as Geralt in that one. Maybe not.
If you're Liam Hemsworth, though, how excited are you? Like, you're having a great week. If you're Liam Hemsworth,
just give him a chance, I guess. I don't know, but yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the Arcade Archives series, which, is on Nintendo Switch and I believe PS4 and therefore PS5 by association. You know, there are a lot of, there's over 100 games in the Arcade Archives series, and they're still coming. And just recently announced another game that we're going to be seeing in Arcade Archives is Ordine. Ordine is a game that was released in Japanese arcades in 1988. It's similar in some aspects to Parodius. But in Ordine, you play a professor that takes to the skies to rescue his kidnapped sweetheart, who's been abducted by his rival. Very, very standard 80s storyline there. But it's very, very colorful little shooter type game. So it's cute. There was a port on the PC Engine, but since, of course, this is the Arcade Archives, we are talking about the arcade version. So, this is actually also the first time this game has shown up in the West. It has never been on a Namco collection of any sort or anything like that. So it's kind of interesting, too. So pretty cool. All right. Let's travel around the world and check out some games you're going to be able to get this week as well. That one is one I think that's coming out very soon digitally. But what's coming to the more traditional game stores, Loki, this week?
We have Lonesome Village on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 5, and Xbox Series. Dorymon Story of Seasons, Friends of the Great Kingdom on PC, Nintendo Switch, and PlayStation 5. Sumiko Gurashi, Mina de Rhythm Party on Nintendo Switch. We have The Chant on PC, PlayStation 5, and Xbox Series. Ghost Song on PC, Iron Man VR on PC, Harvestella on PC and Nintendo Switch, Nikkei, Goddess of Victory on Android and iOS. And that's it.
All right. Let's go over to Japan and check out some of the releases that are coming out over there. And then I'll ask Loki to do the UK dates with Darksoccer out this week. But coming out in Japan, we have on the Nintendo Switch, we have Sumiko Gurashi, Mina Day Rhythm Party, which I think I heard Loki mention as well. That is a game that's coming out. I wonder what kind of rhythm party it is. It looks like they're all singing in this game. You press buttons and shake the Joy-Cons to the rhythm of the music. Well, that sounds like Samba de Amigo or something. That sounds like it could be fun. That's really the only major release on the Nintendo Switch this week.
It's super cute.
Yeah, it does look cute.
Panda bear things.
Going over to the PlayStation 5 this week, we have Doraemon, Story of Seasons, Friends of the Great Kingdom. That is out from Bandai Namco this week on the PS5. And that's really the only major release in Japan this week. It's kind of a slow week in Japan. I will say, though, next week, where's Tiger Claw? Tiger Claw, where are you? Tiger Claw, pay attention, because next week in Japan, and I think this actually might be the entire world as well, but I noticed that Sonic Frontiers is November 8th, and that's gonna be a big one for people. So
that is a worldwide
release. So check that out, November 8th. All right. How about the UK, Loki, and in lieu of Darksoccer not being here tonight?
The UK, we've got Train Sim World 3 on PlayStation and Xbox, Horse Tales on PlayStation and the Switch. The Chance
is that about Sarah Jessica? Never mind. Just go ahead. Keep reading.
I don't know. It doesn't say. It's Emerald Valley Ranch. So I don't think. No, I don't think that is Sarah Jessica Parker. Okay, unfortunately. Okay. The Chant on PlayStation and Xbox. We have Eternia Noctis on PlayStation and the Switch. Humankind Heritage Edition on PlayStation. We have Death's Door on PlayStation and Switch. Harvestella on the Switch. Bratz Flaunt Your Fashion on PlayStation, Xbox, and the Switch. It Takes Two on the Switch. Ghostbusters Spirits Unleashed Collector's Edition on the PlayStation. And that's it.
All right. We have a few more stories for you, and then we're going to be opening up our Discord server to some phone calls. If you want to give us a call, over at vognetwork.com/discord. And even if you don't want to call us, if you're listening on the podcast feed, for example, and you're not here live tonight, you can always leave some messages and some notes in the Orange Lounge Radio channel or any of our discussion channels throughout the week. I do read and actively participate in the OLR chat. And I know Loki has an eye on that too. Darksoccer makes a cameo once in a while on the Discord server, but she's there too. And if you want to chat with us throughout the week, you can do that over at the Discord server. So I just urge y'all to join. We limit our use of at everyone. In fact, we don't use it. So don't worry about that type of spam, even though it is good whenever I join a new Discord server. Anytime I join a new Discord server, that's the first thing I turn off. And I think anyone out there who's considering setting up a Discord server, please realize the at feature has been ruined for everybody. So I would just assume any Discord server you set up, those features are not going to do any good because everybody's turning them off now. So something to think about. Anyway. Moving on, we're going to get back into a few news stories. Unfortunately, these are not the great kind of news stories here. We've had some passings in our industry this week, but let's take a moment to remember and acknowledge those that we've lost this last week. Loki.
Yeah, we have Reiko Kodama, who was a developer at Sega. She had worked on quite a few different things, including Phantasy Star, Skies of Acadia, Alex Kidd, Sonic, Altered Beast.
This is like the golden age of Sega, like all those games, right?
Yeah, so she started with the company back in 1984 and pretty much worked on a lot of stuff during like the pixel art days, I guess. So,
gosh.
She was labeled the first lady of RPGs and awarded a Pioneer Award at GDC 2018.
I heard the way that we kind of found out about this was because they put a very small tribute to her in the Mega Drive 2 that came out recently, the Mini, the new like Genesis
yes.
Mini 2, that whole the Sega Mini 2 thing that came out recently. They put a small tribute, and somebody had actually tweeted going, you know, usually when you say in memory of so-and-so that per, and they actually confirmed she unfortunately passed away. So that's sad. So,
yeah, she was 59.
That's way too young. That's too bad. And speaking of way too young, someone on the more contemporary side of games, someone you probably heard if you ever played the game Death Stranding, also passed away just within the last couple days. The frontman of the band Low Roar, his name was Ryan Karagia, I hope I said that right, passed away at the age of 40. That's, oh my gosh, I mean, that's our age, so that's really depressing. And this was confirmed, unfortunately, via the band's social media pages. Hideo Kojima, of course, the mind behind Death Stranding, really pouring out the condolences on Twitter about the vocalist of this game, or excuse me, the vocalist of Low Roar, because of the impact that the music had on Death Stranding. The song All Keep Coming played in the very first trailer for Death Stranding. A song called Don't Be So Serious was one of the first tracks you would hear during the opening scene of the game. I guarantee you, if you've heard the song and you've ever played the game, you're like, oh, this, I remember this the first time I heard this song. So it's very, very important in setting the tone for that game. So yeah, on Low Roar's social media post, they paid tribute to Karagia, calling him the driving force behind Low Roar, crediting him for music and lyrics, and his haunting voice, which, yeah, again, if you've heard the songs, very, very unfortunate. They did mention that they did record their sixth studio album, and that would be the last project, from, Ryan, and it will be released when it's ready. No date there. So, in a statement of a series of tweets, Hideo Kojima said, you know, expressed his shock over this, saying the game would not have been complete, Death Stranding, without Low Roar's music. So very sad. So kind of a, you have a classic, game maker and a contemporary game contributor, really, you know, on both ends there, unfortunately losing both this week. So that stinks. We have a few more stories in the meantime. Loki, I'm curious about this next one. This sounds interesting.
Yeah, so Sega is looking to do an Nintendon't, and that is they're going to making a super game that's going to be coming out by March 2026. This is a super game project that they don't really, they're not really talking about it, but apparently it's some large-scale game that they're working on. One key to achieving this goal is whether we can draw together a large community involving not only players, also streamers who stream the game and viewers who watch their videos. That kind of community expands the further development of game content, adding value to the game that's unimagined by developers, sparking broader movement in which they can draw on even more user base, blah, blah, blah. Sounds to me something like, you know, very like a sandboxy type, you know, like a Minecraft or like a Fortnite or something like that, where there's kind of a growing progression of content for the game driven by fans of it and stuff. So interesting. Don't know what that would be, but it's very ambitious and it's not something we're going to see anytime soon. But neat. Don't know what it's about.
Oh, I'm sorry, my mic's been off this whole time. Oh my gosh. I was sorry for the awkward silence there, but I was typing. I try to mute myself when I type so the clicking doesn't come through and I'm not always successful. So I was just joking that the next step now is to get an announcement of the announcement, because that's the first thing we have to do, right? And I'm very curious about what this game is all about.
So. Yeah, it's hype before that we even know what they're hyping up.
Yeah, exactly, right? All right, last and least tonight, I said I was really done talking about this, but unfortunately the news keeps coming, and I have to mention what happened this week in the Bayonetta voice actor saga. Yes, I'm going back to that topic. Here's what happened this week. So Helena Taylor, of course, you know, she said in some tweets this week, my posts have hit a nerve with people. Low pay resonates not just in the gaming industry, but in the wider world beyond, all over the planet. To donate your boycott money, there are many small local charities that can help. And there were some traditional charities that were there, like some food banks and some organizations that help with the homeless and things like that. There were some other organizations that were in there as well. She said that these were organizations she contributed her supplemental income from her convention appearance, I think singular, to. But anyway, it was very interesting, some of the other charities that were mentioned here. The Student Pizza Fund for the London Academy of Music and Dramatic Arts. That's fine. Pet welfare groups, sure. But there was another interesting one that stood out. Billboards for Life. This is an organization that makes roadside propaganda with it's basically anti-abortion propaganda. For example, fetuses that are showing in the praying position, quotes that say, "I could dream before I was born," and so forth. So Helena Taylor is using her campaign to urge people to donate to an anti-abortion charity, which there's not, I mean, some people would agree with that, but there are a lot of other people that would not agree with that stance. So it's, you know, again, it's a lot of people are sort of questioning what exactly was her motivation with this whole thing and so forth. I really have nothing else to say on all of this. I'm just going to point to, I done said it already 3 weeks ago here on this show, and I told you then, if this was the tweet that finally woke you up to what's going on, congratulations. I accept apologies in the form of Venmo and Cash App payments. I'm just kidding. Tell a friend about the show. That's all we really want to happen here at Orange Lounge Radio. But needless to say, when I said she would never work in the game industry again, she's not going to. Now, I do like this, and thank you, Questbuster, for pointing this out, because this is very, very important to point out. Another voice actress within Bayonetta 3, Anna Brisbane, she voices a new character named Viola, and she was able to kind of, you know, unmask this week because the game is now out. So she can say, yes, I did this. She did a charity run raising $5,000 for various trans rights groups. And that is a very it's a great cause to begin with. And I don't want to make these charity organizations, you know, any sort of like, I don't even want to use the word joke, but my point is this is very much a tongue in cheek kind of, I think, counterpoint to a lot of what we've been talking about these last 3 weeks. And I think this is Anna Brisbane sort of coming out and saying, don't worry, I'm not like her. I really think it is. But she's not saying that, but she's saying that. Mm-hmm. So, but congrats to Anna Brisbane on that role. And Bayonetta 3 has been getting pretty good reviews across the board. I'm not sure it's quite as up there as Bayonetta 2, but to still be even in the 80s, high 80s at that, and getting some perfect review scores from some websites on your third game is still pretty good. So I congratulations to Anna Brisbane. Of course, Jennifer Hale, congratulations to Platinum on the, you know, game's release and all that stuff. And none for Helena Taylor. Bye. All right. That's it. That's all the news we had for tonight. So now we want to invite
minute story if you want.
Yes, of course, because I was going to say we usually would read some emails here to participate at orangeloungeradio.com, but guess what? We still don't have emails. I'm starting to wonder if anyone emails anymore. We get the occasional from YYR, Zeba, Red Entertainment. I'm not here to name names. I'm just saying I only noticed there's probably less than 5 people that have emailed us in the past like 6 months. And this is why I always threaten to get rid of the mailbag segment. But at the same time, I don't really have anything where people are engaging to replace it with. So that's why the mailbag still lives on for now. But now seeking engagement platform to get more voices on the show through. So if you have some thoughts, I'm very curious. Bobby says he has breaking news. I'd be very curious to hear that. Oh, that's great news. Guess what? Bobby just breaking on the show. If you want to hop in the green room, Bobby, or just barge on in, I don't give a shit, and tell us here live on air, you can tell us if you want. I'll read it if you don't want to do it for whatever reason. Loki, though, what's your last minute topic here.
Well, not to be Debbie Downer here, but Adriana Chechik has returned back to stream since her accident at TwitchCon, where she broke her back in two places.
Right.
She talked a little bit about her recovery and also gave the bad news, saying that unfortunately at the time she didn't know that she was pregnant at the time of the injury.
Oh,
and
this is horrible.
Because of
Loki.
The surgery, she lost
Loki. That's
the baby.
Horrible. Oh, I wish you'd warned me. That's awful. Oh my God.
So I think that definitely the people behind TwitchCon have to pay for that. For sure. Somebody needs to answer for that.
Holy moly.
Because, I mean, not only could you have killed like some of the adults there, but you did kill somebody. So it's horrible.
I literally have no words and I'm about to just press the end the show button. So anyway, do you have anything else, please, to palate reset or something? That's hard.
I saw a cool picture of somebody that made us one of those sentry bots from Portal out of a pumpkin. That was fun.
Okay. Yeah. S200 Matt says, someone throw a pie. Yeah, Loki, go hit yourself in the face with a pie, please.
I don't have any pie.
All right. Actually, here's we're going to welcome Bobby Blackwolf on because I know Bobby had just got some really good news. And I definitely want to hear like what's going on. So hi, Bobby, are you there?
Yeah, I am. Hang on. Give me a second here because I haven't done this pie before.
I know. No, I don't think you've been on our side of the house in quite a while. So, and I got to make sure you're very loud, but that's okay. It's on my side, not your side. All right. Oh, Bobby's coming through on video. Okay. Great.
There we go.
Hi, how are you? Video,
yeah. All right. In the post show area. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how you doing? I'm great. So the chat knows your news, but the podcast listeners don't yet. So tell me the news because I think this is really exciting.
Yeah, so I just got the email literally, like, what is Gmail saying here? 3 minutes ago. 3 minutes ago. But I am one of the 22 volunteers selected to be a host for Awesome Games Done Quick 2023.
Nice.
Yay! Applause. Congratulations, because it's never guaranteed.
It is never guaranteed. You re-audition every time, which is good, because then we'd never get any new blood in. And there are people that have auditioned... You know, or there are people who have hosted HGDQ in the past, maybe done 7 or 8 events that can't get in anymore. And it's a good thing that we let new blood come in, because some people are like, well, you know, why don't they just have like a set of hosts that they trust that can do, you know, that are there all the time? There are only 22 spots and that list is longer than 22 people. So how do you pick from the 22 trusted veterans?
Right.
On, you know, if when you have more than 22. So I am thrilled and excited, and I'll probably be posting on social media tonight, so I wanted to give you the heads up here on
the inside scoop. I'm very excited. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. And so for your audience who probably don't know what you actually have to do to audition, and I can talk a little bit about it, but I don't want to get too much into it.
It's fine.
But
we're not even at an hour and a half. So by all means, give us a peek behind the curtain. We got time.
Absolutely. So essentially what they have you do is they give you a video file, and they say, okay, here's a list. Here's some sponsor blurbs. And here's a bunch of donations. They give that to you in like a Google Doc. And there's a video, and the video has 2 minutes of just nothing. That's the time between games. And then the first 6 minutes of a speed run. And during the speed run, the runner will be like, okay, now let's have some donations. And you're supposed to read some donations. So they're checking how you structure your 2 minutes of you talking, and then how you determine which donations to read and what you say during the speed run. And they'll even say, the runner is looking for this specific community member. They're a friend. They want to hear their donation. They'll say things like, you know, we're really trying to push for this, or please, you know, promote this part, you know, this prize or this, you know, this upcoming speed run, a bonus game, whatever. They'll tell you that. And then you put in that your 8 minutes you uploaded is an unlisted YouTube video, and then they get 20 amazing volunteers. I almost said suckers, but 20 amazing volunteers or 25 amazing volunteers or something. They have to listen to everybody's audition. And they watch everybody's audition, and then they score them on several subjective and objective things. So there's scores about, you know, you get an extra point if you read this donation, you lose a point if you read this donation, then it all averages together. But they also have some subjective things. Were they energetic? What's their tonal voice like? Stuff like that. 112 auditions.
Wow.
And each audition is about 8 minutes long.
Oh my gosh.
And they selected 22.
Congratulations.
There were 17 judge volunteers. I'm getting to this part of the email. They send stats.
Mm-hmm.
It's a score out of 50. The 22 people had to score 42 out of 50.
What'd you get?
They don't tell me what I get yet.
Oh, okay.
I have to actually ask. I can get feedback, and then I get like the judges' comments, and so I can figure out what I'm going to work on. The high score was 45.8.
Oh, so nobody gets a perfect score.
No, nobody's ever gotten a perfect score. I think it's like one time somebody got like over a 46, but usually like in the 45s is your high score.
Interesting.
So there's only like 3 points.
Yeah.
Separating first and number one and number 22. And then there are six backups who scored more than 41 points, but less than 42. And that was six. So there were six people that placed in the 41. And the first time I did this, SGDQ 2020, I was in that backup group.
Yeah.
I had just missed the cutoff line.
Mm-hmm. But still, that's great because you've done every single one since. So, but I know you work on your craft and you listen to the feedback and you've, kind of talked to others within the community. And I'm sure you all kind of, talk about what works and what doesn't work. And that just helps, I'm sure, at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
And the downside of the hosting audition process, and, I don't mind talking about this, is that it really helps that I've done the actual event, because there's lots of things the judges look for that they don't tell you, and you'd only know if you ever did an event.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why you do see a lot of the same people hosting in each event. It's because once you've done one, you know what the judges are looking for, and you know the little things to put in that they don't tell you necessarily in the audition documents. So.
Yeah, and I don't, people should not listen to that comment and read into it like, oh, it's rigged. That's not it. It's just that, again, you talked about that there was a subjectiveness to the energy. How do you know the appropriate level of energy? Well, either you've listened to a lot of in the past, because certainly if somebody was over energetic, if you're talking let's talk about the Prevent Cancer Foundation, maybe that's a little too much energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But how do you know that unless you listen, you get that feedback and that sort of thing. So because when you say it that way, there's going to be people that will read into that. Oh, it's rigged. Because you know how the internet works with the conspiracies.
Yes.
But it's not rigged. It's just it's on the job experience helps.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people will sit there and they'll like redo theirs and stuff. And I will say mine wasn't the first take. They don't ask for your first take. They let you watch the video. You can see what the timing is supposed to be. You can read through the donations, because they don't want you reading every donation, because they throw in things that you shouldn't read on the air. And they're like, what's your judgment? And me doing this, my show, and working with you and working with Vogue, doing this for 17 years, having to read chat comments in real time and react on the air has helped
a
lot
for sure
with that.
For sure.
So I'm thrilled that I got in. I don't know, now I've got to tell them what I'm interested in hosting, because the game list is out.
Fantasy 14.
I know.
Going to be an in-demand one though.
It's going to be very in demand. Yeah. So there's like Froob, who I've hosted many things before. He didn't get in, and I don't think there's any Yakuza runs in anyway.
Oh, no.
I'll have to check.
Well, so. I mean, I also understand they gotta mix it up. They can't have the same thing every year.
Absolutely.
And also, this is the one that is going to be virtual, because
it's virtual again.
Yeah, we talked about a few weeks ago that they had to kind of not be in Florida anymore for a variety of reasons, and that is a risk that they're taking with that. So,
and that's why there were over 100 auditions. For SGDQ, I think there were only like 90 something auditions. So
that's,
because anybody
lot,
around
yeah.
the world yeah. can be in, you're now, I was competing against people in Australia that wouldn't have been able to make it to America, couldn't afford to make it to America, because that's a lot of money.
Right.
They were in the mix, and other people who probably still aren't comfortable with large gatherings. They were in the mix. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was a lot. It was probably a tougher competition this time around. So yeah. I'm just very thankful that I get to work with them again.
Very curious but to see what summer looks like, too. You know, I know that's a ways out, but just very curious to see how that shapes up in light of what happened with this one. But I know it's still going to be great. It's still the virtual ones have been awesome. A lot of people kind of think they should keep mixing the virtual with the in-person ones, or at least, have some out. So it's cool that we are getting that. I'm thrilled you get to be involved with that again, and very curious to see what you end up posting, especially since there is no Yakuza one that would certainly have you with it.
Right.
Yeah.
There's some games in there, and I've also gotten to meet people that I think that are running and stuff. So I may be able to, now that I've actually been a part of the community for, a couple times now, and I've gotten to meet some of the runners, either working with them in the past or meeting them in Minneapolis when I was there. Mm-hmm. I may have some people that want me there. Yeah. So that's some runners that would, because runners can ask for a specific host as well. It's not just one way.
That's great.
So we'll see. The summer one will most likely be at that same hotel in Minneapolis. They're pretty happy with that arrangement. Mm-hmm. So it's just, where is Awesome Games Done Quick 2024 going to be? Because I think some of the stuff, the reason they moved it from Virginia to Florida was, A, they wanted to be near a major airport. Mm-hmm. And also they wanted it less likely that winter weather was going to affect it, because it was happening in mid-January. So it would be snowing in Virginia, and it's hard for people to get around if they're not from the area. Like, I didn't want to drive up there. Why I loved MAGFest in March that one time, because it was after all the winter weather stuff.
Now SSGO 100 Matt says, move it to Atlanta, wink, wink. I have a better idea. I'm just going to say, it doesn't rain anymore here in lovely Los Angeles, or San Diego, or Las Vegas would all be excellent choices that are all near major airports. I'm just saying.
Yes, but also what they're looking at is the cost.
Fair. Well, but I would still argue Vegas is always a cheap hub.
Yeah.
But I get it. I get it. They got to find the right match.
And I know people are saying move it to Atlanta, and I'd love that too, because obviously we can handle it here. It's just the thing I worry about, and I don't want to get into details or go on about this, but Georgia has its own political problems, and so I'm not sure if the Games Done Quick organization, which I have said is progressive to a fault sometimes, I don't know if they would be comfortable being in Georgia. They wouldn't be comfortable being in Texas. So if this is the line that they're going to take, I can't see them coming to Georgia right now.
That's again why Vegas jumps out at me, is Vegas is more purple, or Nevada is more of a purple state, right? So it's a very well-known swing state. So I kind of feel like, I don't know, Vegas just is the solution to everything. No, I'm just kidding.
But Georgia's purple too, but it's just but the rules we have, the laws that are on the books can
fair
have some people take second, not want to come here.
Yeah, I get it. So
we're working on it. Yeah, I live here. We're working on it.
Early voting is open right now in many states.
It is.
Go vote.
It is here too.
So that reminds me, I got to fill out my ballot. So
yeah.
I already did mine.
All right. Well, Bobby, I appreciate you coming over on our show and giving us that breaking news. And again, congratulations. Yep. They're lucky to have you. Look forward to seeing what your trajectory and your path through that looks like, and what games you're going to be involved with. So,
I'm looking forward to it.
All right, Bobby, you take care. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Yep. Thank you.
All right. Bye. All right. Always good to hear from Mr. Black Wolf here on OLR. He's good enough to have me on a show every week to promote what we're doing here, so I have no problem having him here. If you want to be on Orange Lounge Radio, you can hop in our green room, but you better do it real quick, because I'm about to think there's no calls that want to come in. Looking in chat over at twitch.tv/VOG Network, a lot of echoing of the go vote statements. Jaskrin saying go vote. Dark Tetsuya saying indeed, already sent ours out with voting. Good, good. Okay, SJ100 Matt has a good question for us. What are your favorite TV Halloween specials? The Paul Lynde Halloween special.
My favorite specials on TV for Halloween are always the Simpsons Halloween episodes.
Oh, the Treehouse of Terror.
The new one that they have coming out now with the anime Simpsons.
The Death Note.
I need to watch that tonight.
That's on tonight, isn't it? Or is it next week?
Yeah, it's tonight. So that looks awesome. But yeah, the Simpsons Halloween specials are always great.
That's a really good answer. That's good. I don't know. I get more. I don't really get into a lot of the Halloween ones. I mean, I always love a good Elvira appearance on television, but you know, she, Cassandra Peterson isn't really performing that part. Like, it's a very special occasion. She does Elvira at this point.
I was going to say one other one. It's not TV, but since we live in the age of YouTube, Red Letter Media's Halloween specials, their best of the worst holidays stuff is always good.
I'm looking in chat at some of the comments here. SSJ100 Matt says they brought back David S. Pumpkins last night. Oh, I forgot about that. That's good. ZenMonkey11 says The Worst Witch. That's a good pick too. We love Tim Curry in that one. Dark Sakura is saying, I'm going to be the Halloween special by playing Cenobite. You open the box. I came. So yeah, there's says, that new Hellraiser movie on Hulu. Huh?
Werewolf by Night was good. It's short. It's only like 50 minutes.
Nice. All right. Dr. Suya says, The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. Picked it up on DVD because I noticed it stopped airing on TV. Nice. All right.
Take the hint.
All right. Well, nobody else is in the green room, so guess what? We're going to wrap it up. We're done. We're out of here. We're going to say goodnight. Good night. Let's get people's final thoughts and get on out of here for the night. Loki, what's your final thought? Oh, actually, wait. Before I get that, let me, of course, say, as always, thank you so much for listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you for being here tonight. Even though it was a little bit of a shorter show, we were down a host. It happens. Kind of a slower news week. But thank you for being here and being a part of the community. Whether you're here with us live or you are on our podcast feed throughout the week, we appreciate it. We'd love to hear from more podcast people, be it on our Twitter at OLR or our mailbag. If you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we need more voices to put out here on air in order to have them. So yeah. A nice 5-star review wherever you found this show. That goes an awful long way. So we really appreciate those. And I don't know what else to say. We won't be here in 2 weeks, but we definitely will be here next week. So we will see you all again next week with another episode of the show. Now I'll go over to Loki and get your final thought tonight.
Go subscribe to my channel, I guess. Loki LR at YouTube.
Great.
They're going to be getting those, I don't know what they're calling them now, but it's basically like a new URL thing that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Not right. Nicknames, but it's like something. I don't remember what they call it.
Aliases or something, right?
Yes, aliases, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So, let's see. Dark Soccer wants to remind people about the marathon that she's doing. Is that still happening in light? But Dark Sakura does want to point out it's moved to February 15th in light of her own voice issues. It was going to be Tuesday, but she's just knocking it back 2 weeks. So heads up on that. That is going to be on February 15th from noon to midnight, 12 to 12. So check that out, Dark Sakura. Again, she talked more about that on last week's show, but that is for to support some of the medical issues her mother's been going through recently. So if you want to get more on that, listen last week. But the date has changed to February 15th. Doctor's orders on that. My final thought tonight, I could plug my stuff, but I do that all the time. I would just say I'm feeling really good about the show last night. I did live Rocky Horror. The crowd was fantastic. I have been loving hosting, and I've been getting to do a lot more of it this year because the last 2 years have been ass with COVID for live events. So I'm just really happy to be in the swing of that again. Oh, I'll tell you, I have not even said this on Twitter or anywhere because I just found out about it last night. I am hosting another non-horror event here locally. This is going to be a fun one. Loki, you could bring the kids to this one. It's this kind of event. So I'm not saying you have to go. But December 10th here, I am going to be hosting a screening of the movie Home Alone from the 90s. So, and we actually,
I love Home Alone.
Yeah, we actually have one of the stars of the movie, not Macaulay Culkin, I'm sorry to say, he's not going to be there, but one of the other kids, Angela Gothals, I think is the celebrity's name. She is going to be in attendance. So, and they're calling it a non-horror screening from Love Horror Events. So it's going to be a holiday thing. So I'm really, really, really excited to do that. That's going to be December 10th. So I guess that's my plug here locally for those of you in SAC. LoveHorrorEvents.com. If you want to see all,
I mean,
the
it could
stars.
Be a horror screening if you believe in the whole Home Alone in the Saw universe thing.
Well, and then if you look at a lot of like what was you know, like the traps that, you know, he was setting up for those burglars. It is kind of messed up if you think about it. It could be a little bit scary. I will also say they are doing a screening of Sleepaway Camp, the camp 1980s movie classic. And Angela or Felissa Rose will be in attendance for that one. I am not hosting it, unfortunately. It is the same weekend I'm out of town. It's the same weekend we don't have a show. But I think it's really cool they're doing that. So yeah, lots of fun shows there. So anyway, that's it. We're out of here for tonight. Thank you again for staying up late with us. And we'll see you in 7 days. We'll do this all again. Hopefully Dark Sakura's clear to come back with us next week. And we can all be together again to talk about video games. Have fun playing games this week, everyone. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. Join us for our live show. Tune in to VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio nor VogNetwork, but you know they were all still true.